Hear these words of Jesus Christ, words recorded in the 11th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, words spoken to you. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. May God bless the reading and hearing of these words of Scripture. Many months ago, when I was choosing the scripture passage and theme for this season in the life of our congregation, there was much that I did not know about the moment in which we would find ourselves this March morning. It was July, and I was in the mountains of North Carolina all by myself on personal retreat in Montreat, North Carolina. In July of last year, I had never heard the word coronavirus, and I will admit I could not have found the city of Wuhan if you gave me a map of China. I did not know that March of 2020 would bring the routine lives of so many on our planet to a screeching halt. I was not planning to preach this third Sunday of Lent in a nearly empty sanctuary. And yet, when I chose this scripture and selected this theme, I did know some things. I did know that these words of Jesus Christ would speak to us. I did know that many among us would come to worship carrying heavy burdens of every type. I did know that the news headlines, whatever they were, would carry grim messages. I did know that individual lives would be marked by the sting of grief, the constant pain of worry, the shock of difficult diagnosis, the sense of isolation and loneliness, the struggle for meaning. I knew that these words of Scripture would meet us where we are, and that this theme of clearing room in our lives for the presence of God would speak to us now, just as it would have last month or last year. The gift of these grounding faith practices and these sturdy, built-to-travel words is that they offer us steady guidance no matter the uncertainties that assail us. And oh, how they have assailed us. This week, there were more than a few moments when all of the unknowns compiled together became more than I could handle. I imagine that you can relate. Constant news alerts flashing on our phones, rising case numbers, collapsing market numbers, ever more drastic and aggressive measures, alarming predictions that the worst is still to come. And here in our small corner of the universe runs on hand sanitizer, cleaning wipes, and curiously toilet tissue. The domino-like cancellation of sporting events and then whole sports leagues, colleges and then whole school systems, large gatherings of every type, and finally many of our neighboring congregations, I found myself lost in a sea of uncertainty and fear. I prayed for wisdom. And it was then that I heard a voice. It was not the voice of God. but it was the voice of a powerful leader. Her name is Anna of Arendelle, and if you haven't heard her voice, you need to turn away from your preferred news channel and turn to Disney Plus. For Anna is a leading character in Disney's Frozen franchise and a rock star in our house. In fact, before I knew the word coronavirus, I knew that we were having a Frozen birthday party at our house yesterday morning to celebrate our new 3-year-old and Frozen fanatic. At least the weather cooperated. A couple of weeks ago, still singing the songs from our theater viewing in January, Sarah and I decided we would download Frozen 2. And what that means for us is that we've seen parts of that movie 684 times in the last 3 weeks. And in that movie, Anna gives us these words, this phrase, a mantra that hit me with the force of revelation this week. Do the next right thing. Do the next right thing. Could it really be that simple? Could it be that we who are weary with the heavy burdens of uncertainty, anxiety, and fear are called to find a little rest in knowing that we can only do one thing at a time? If there are two clear conclusions that can be drawn from this moment in our globe, they are that we are fragile and we are interconnected. When any single one of us chooses to do the next right thing, that one action impacts all of us. Martin Luther King called it an inescapable network of mutuality, a single garment of destiny. And none of us needs to be reminded of the truth in those words on a day like this. In our fragility, in our vulnerability, in our uncertainty, here is what we can try. Do the next right thing, the one that is just in front of you. You see, we can't see the top of the staircase right now, but the next step is just ahead of you. Take that step. That might look like breathing in the grace of God in the moments that you feel overwhelmed, carrying those heavy burdens to the one who invites us to hand them over. It might look like finding moments of restoration and rest. Surely it looks like speaking gently to those around you and respecting the heaviness that we're all feeling. I think doing the next right thing these days looks like giving ourselves the grace to laugh. Here's one. Two silkworms had a race. They ended up in a tie. Read a book. Go for a walk. Watch a movie. Sometimes the next right thing looks like moments of Sabbath that keep us grounded in God's grace. Sometimes the next right thing is a nap, and that's okay too. For fatigue can so easily give birth to fear. Accept the rest that Jesus invites us to this morning. Trade in your heavy load for a lighter yoke. Now, believe me when I say that Second Presbyterian Church is already and will continue to be taking steps to care for our congregation, for our neighbors, for the broader community. I do believe that this moment calls us to draw on the deep wells of compassion that God offers to us and to share that nourishing gift with others. I firmly believe what an infectious disease physician in our congregation said to me this week, that people of faith will have a significant role to play in responding to the needs that have already and will emerge. And make no mistake that we will respond with love, with compassionate and generous hearts, and that we will do so because of the steady presence of Christ who equips us to serve, who calls us to rest. I truly believe that in the weeks ahead, this world will see the tremendous and transformative impact of those who know the meaning of unconditional love because they have received it in their own hearts and lives and will live it even when the temptation is to turn inward, to self-protect, to hoard necessities needed by others, to demonize our neighbors, to lash out in frustration. May the church, having received Christ's promise of assurance, rise up to meet this call. Another voice I have heard often this week is that of Sarah Illingworth, our new but now very experienced communications director. Late Wednesday evening, I read an email Sarah sent with the subject, Crisis Management. In it, she gave me lots of wonderful wisdom, but the one that leapt off the page at me was this bullet point: remember to say what we do know. It is the same wisdom I heard from experts in speaking to children in these times. The same lesson I learned from Samuel's kindergarten teacher, Mrs. Harris, who responded with tenderness on Thursday when a student raised his hand and with a worried look asked, "Mrs. Harris, will you still be able to read us stories?" Say what you do know. Yes, I will absolutely find a way. I do not know what happens next. I have no clairvoyant vision of the future. God has given me no prophecy to share with you today. But following the sages who surround me and the spirit that enlivens me, I will tell you what I do know. I do know that the God who is sovereign over the universe, the one who numbers the hairs on our head, is a God of compassion, love, and grace, a God who is faithful in all circumstances, and whose promise to us is life. I do know that you and I and every beloved soul on this fragile planet belong to God and are held in the loving arms of God. I also know that we belong to each other and that God has given us a charge to live in ways that honor the truth of our interconnectedness, that Jesus Christ showed us what it means to belong and gave us the model of selfless compassion and sacrificial love. I do know that while sanctuaries can be emptied and programs can be postponed, the body of Christ that is the church is yet alive with the Spirit of God. Don't you know who we are? We are resurrection people. We are well acquainted with the forces of death, and we know how to respond, like those quarantine Sicilians playing violins and singing to each other from their balconies. We will not be silenced by fear. we will not be driven to our worst in this moment. We will raise our voices to sing of a God who defeats fear and death with the power of love, because I know deep in my heart that love's power is stronger than all that works against it. I know that it is always darkest just before the dawn, and that new life begins in the valley of death's shadow. I know that we are held in God's tender grace, and I know that together we can do the next right thing, and the one after that. And no matter how long it takes, or how deep the darkness, together we will walk each other into the light. My favorite creed from the Iona Scotland community in Scotland includes this line: "We affirm God's goodness at the heart of humanity, planted more deeply than all that is wrong." And so, beloved, here is what I know: that the goodness of God is the heart of who we are, that it is planted more deeply than any affliction we may encounter, that it is more contagious than any virus, that it is our pathway through this barren land. So cling to the truth that you have always trusted. Hold on to the faith that has carried us this far. God is with us. Amen.